Hello and welcome to season 2, episode 2 of A Tale of Two Counties. Hi Matt.
Hi Charlie, how are you?
I'm very well. Yep, sun is shining in Dorset. What's it like in Lincolnshire?
We've just had rain, but the sun's out now because obviously I'm doing a podcast with you, so the weather's got to match the mood.
I am your sunshine.
That's it, a little bit of Dorset sunshine to Lincolnshire. I know we've kind of had a bit of a chat about season 2 and who we might talk to, and I'm quite excited about this one today. This is a guy I met at a conference and I thought, ooh, he's got, this is going to be interesting, and really bridging that world between what we know of physical activity and what I'm doing in the health world. So yeah, I'm quite excited, never mind the rain.
You're very pleased with yourself today, aren't you? Because after much teasing, you've got a guest.
Yeah, well, I couldn't have you giving me any more stick around you organising all the visitors. So, yes, it's back to me. And I've seen your very good visitors and I've got an absolute belter today. I'm pleased.
So, come on then, what are we talking about today?
So, what I thought we'd talk about today is a little bit about health coaching. And this is something, you know, as people know from series one, me coming into this world around connected physical activity and health, never heard of health coaches before. And kind of went through a phase of thinking, oh, it's something to do with social prescribing and that kind of world. And as I've worked my way through it, I think I'm getting a better understanding, but certainly after this chat, we'll be all on the page with it. But it feels like this is a place we need to go, a place where we can really talk about physical activity and health joining, because there's people out there, there's a network of people that are doing some of the work that we need to do. So yes, health coaching. So
Fantastic. Going to segue straight into introducing your guest.
Yeah, but you just mind, I was talking too much. So I was hoping you were going to say, go introduce. I don't need a big drum roll or anything like that. But let me introduce to you Dr. Ollie Hart, who is a GP from Sheffield. He is the clinical director for the local primary care network, Healy Plus, which covers about 42,000 patients. He's a core professional interest in person-centred care, and over the past 10 years has held a range of national roles in this area. He was the co-chair of NHS England Strategy Board for Supported Self-Management and was a national champion for the Royal College of GPs in their Collaborative Care and Support Planning programme. Ollie is a director for Peak Health Coaching, a company that specialises in health coaching training, organisational development for person-centred care. So without further ado, Dr. Ollie Hart, welcome!
Woohoo! Oh, thanks, Charlotte. Matt, it's lovely to be
what
on
an
here.
Intro.
Really, real big fan of what you do, so it's a pleasure to be guest on. Thank you.
No, thank you. And it was great to see you at the It's All About People conference as well. So I guess this is like water for duck's back. You're talking about something that is your passion and you're interested in. Easy for you.
Yeah, and what a cool title that is, It's All About People, because I guess that really resonates with me. And I love the way you describe this space between, you know, physical activity provision and the NHS. And this is hopefully going to show people that this space is rapidly being filled with good stuff.
Yeah. Oh, here we go. So how do you want to kick off? Do you want to tell us a little bit about what health coaching is and perhaps what it isn't? Is that a good place to start?
Yeah, sure. Absolutely. Yeah. And I'll try and live up to your, you know, reputation, Matt, of bringing a good guest on, Charlotte. Make sure I hit that
no
one.
No pressure, Ollie. No pressure.
Exactly. I want to. In fact, I was Move More, found a member of Move More in Sheffield, actually, with a few other people. So physical activity has always been a real passion of mine as well. I've been a GP for 20 years. Ooh, crazy, isn't it? And me and a colleague about 7 years back sort of realised that the things that people do for themselves to look after themselves, be it physical activity, moving well, thinking well, sleeping well, all the stuff you can do to look after your health is really, really important. And, you know, we sort of reflected that actually what we tend to do as doctors and nurses and so on is we tend to focus on what we do to people. You know, we prescribe medicines, we do operations, we refer them to things. And we really felt we were missing the other half of the coin, which is the bit that people do for themselves. So we got more and more interested and we realized that health coaching was the sort of the mindset, the skill set, you know, the overall kind of culture and ethos of building the role that people take themselves. So, you know, it really is all about people, isn't it? But we realized that it was missing in the NHS. We were not very good at it. So we've made it our mission as a company to get that culture and that sort of skill set embedded in the NHS.
Yeah. And I guess we hear coaching, people listeners will hear coaching and think straight away around cricket coaching and football coaching and getting across technique and tactics and skills for being better at a specific sport or an activity. It's that same approach, isn't it? It's that same kind of the tactics and skills.
Absolutely. And I mean, you know, it's funny, isn't it? I was out at the physio the other day running, and he said, oh, yeah, health coaching. It's that thing where you just get people to, it's like lifestyle coaching, isn't it? And, you know, I think it gets tainted with that brush, really. I think it's anything that enables people to look after themselves better. So sometimes, yeah, it is a little bit of advice around, you know, information and techniques and so on. We often use the analogy of thinking about like a professional sports team, you know, because you couldn't imagine any sports team, could you, worth their salt, that didn't have a coach. You know, they don't just go to the players, yeah, go on, out you go, just get on with it. You know, there's always coaching techniques, you know, where there's money, big premiership football teams, they'll have a whole team of coaches and they'll use coaching skill sets. And the irony is, in healthcare, you know, it really matters the role the players take, which I guess you could see the patients, you know, they're the players in their own health. And we really don't invest in coaching them. You know, I mean, so health coaches and healthcare professionals that learn to be health coaches take on that role. They don't, you know, it's a bit like the football game. The coaches don't go on and play the game on a Saturday. You know, they're once it comes to the match, they're on the sidelines, you know, supporting and cheering, but they're not doing it. It's actually down to the person to do it, but you can build their confidence. You can connect them with, you know, resources that will help them. But at the end of the day, it is down to the person.
So I'm jumping again, Charlie. Sorry. Is that right?
He's keen, isn't he? He's keen.
Yeah. So I'm just thinking, like, what does it look like when it's going well? Where are these health coaches?
Yeah. So it predominantly in the NHS now works in long-term conditions. So, and to be honest, that's the mainstay of what we do in general practice. You know, so if you've, you know, got knocked off your bike and you fractured your pelvis, or you've got acute COVID and you're out of breath, you don't really want a health coach. Do you know what I mean? You want someone to jump in, sort you out, get you stabilized quickly. But most of healthcare these days is what we call long-term condition management. So, you know, you've got asthma, you've got type 2 diabetes, obesity, you know, liver failure, heart failure, you know, all these sort of things where it really matters the bit that you do. And so as a GP, you know, I often get 10 minutes, you know, so what I might do is kind of help make sense of the numbers, you know, kind of like you look at the tests and so on and help people to understand what's going on with them. But I don't really have a lot of time to do the bigging up of the bit that people can play. I can message it and say, look, it's, you know, I can do a little bit. Maybe I can prescribe some medicines and so on. But actually, the really big part is here, how you look after yourself, you know, all those things we talked about. So I tend to work with health coaches who are now in a rapidly emerging role in the NHS, who have a bit more time. So, you know, someone with type 2 diabetes, I might have 10, 15 minutes with them, can tell them that where they're up to. It's not really well controlled. To be honest, your tablets don't make a huge amount of difference, a little bit, you know, but actually what makes the biggest difference is how you're moving and eating and sleeping and managing stress. And I'll you know, let me train you up with a health coach, because I realize it's really difficult to do. You know, it's just not easy stuff. I could just wag my finger at you and say, oh, you ought to do better. But actually having someone alongside you, just like a coach sits alongside a sports person to nurture you and build you up, really makes all the difference. So that's what I tend to do. I'll work with health coaches in parallel to the stuff I do as a doctor.
And health coaches generally, am I right in thinking, Ollie, that they're a commissioned service with primary care, or as an adjunct to primary care, that predominantly primary care is accessing health coaching services, isn't it? Is that right?
Yeah, it is. And I like to think, you know, plug for my GP colleagues and those in primary care, that we're slightly ahead of the curve here. You know, we've got these first contact physiotherapists. We're trying to build a wider multidisciplinary team to fill this space that we said, there's this space there between medical science and real life, isn't there? You know, and I think that's where primary care has always sat. And we've traditionally got a bit sucked into the kind of medical heavy model, I think. And I think we're regraining the ground. So we've got, in the last 4 years, we've had these primary care networks set up, and they have funding to take on new roles. So a health coach is a new role, a first contact physiotherapist who might do some coaching skills. But then we've also got care coordinators and social prescribing link workers who tend to also work with that coaching mindset of how do I help someone to connect with stuff that's going to help them to look after themselves better.
Brilliant. So every active partnership, if you're sat in an active partnership listening, you'll have these additional roles within your sort of primary care services, your PCN networks. Hopefully you'll be able to seek out who's looking after your health coaching. That might be the similar organisation that's looking after your social prescribing service, potentially. I know it is in Dorset. We've got Helping Care in Dorset that do non-clinical health coaching and social prescribing.
They're great. Natalie leads health and care down there. I know her, and they do really good training, and they orchestrate a fantastic model down there. So you're really lucky you've got that.
Yeah.
So this will be everywhere, will it? This isn't just going to be, you know, because you're Sheffield, you know, big up Yorkshire, you know, but we could expect anywhere in England there'll be health coaches somewhere.
There will. And I mean, obviously, you know, I'm a convert as a GP. They're not everywhere. There's, I think the last count now, there's kind of close to 1400 health coaches across the country. You know, some little clusters. We train all across the country, and, you know, down in Luton, they've got a really good cluster of health coaches in Ely near Cambridgeshire. You know, there's, as you say, down in Dorset, there's Help and Care. You know, there's little clusters where they're doing it really well. And they've got that sort of, you know, sometimes seven or eight health coaches working together, supporting each other. The local GPs and physios really know how it works. And they often do collaborate really closely with the link workers and the community assets. And I think that's where your active care partnerships come in, because, you know, we've got to be working as a team on this, haven't we? You know, you bring in the local assets to support that culture of, well, how can we help you to nail this?
So it sounds all brilliant and great. Mm. So what's the difficulties? Where's the blockers and the barriers in this? Why isn't it just happening this like everywhere all the time?
Well, I'd be interested in your views on that as well, because I'm sure both of you are used to sort of motivating people and driving change. And it's not easy, is it? You know, people have tough lives, you know, and the last thing you want is someone to come in and wag the finger at you and say, oh, you really ought to be more physically active. You know, you ought to go to park run. You ought to do that. You know, so, you know, there's natural resistance to this. You know, it's hard. It's sometimes it's easy just to take a pill or let someone else think about you, or, you know, you've got other priorities, you know, your work, your kids, your elderly grandparents, whatever it is, you know. So I think what we're trying to champion with this is to be very person-centered, which means you work out where someone's at, what's going on in their life, what are the restrictors, and you try and just gradually build their plan, you know, with them leading it and them kind of deciding what's going to work for them in that time. You're not dragging them. You're not saying, right, come on, let's get you more physically active. You know, you're working out where they could, where they can make a tiny start. If that's where they're at. Or, you know, some people, obviously, they are really motivated and they're right, come on, I want to plan, I want to go for this, you know. So it's a different approach depending on where people are at.
Yeah, so you've got to meet them where they're at then, really, Ollie. It is about their own mindset, isn't it, and their readiness to engage in that conversation about their role in their own care.
Yeah, and that's hard, isn't it, Charlotte? I'm sure you've been in the space for a long time. You know, you've come across that sort of resistance to that, yeah?
Yeah, I think, I mean, when we often do around physical activity is exactly as you just described. People have got to be motivated to think or contemplating or pre-contemplating, if we're talking about kind of that stage of change they're at wanting to have a conversation about how active are you? Might you want to think about moving more, and then what might work for you? And I think we've shifted a lot as a sector around, instead of just let's send everybody to exercise referral at a leisure centre, actually. Yeah. What does exercise look for you? What is it you're going to enjoy? What's going to work for your life? Is it something free? Is it something with a cost? Is it something that fits around picking up the kids or looking after elderly parents? And it's about finding the right thing, which sounds a bit like how you're describing health coaching. It's understanding that complex web of someone's life and what's going on for them.
Exactly. And it's interesting, isn't it? Because probably some of your listeners will be quite committed to physical activity, and I am as well. You know, I'm still part of the park run movement, which I love. You know, you know, it's tempting to kind of want to prescribe park run and say, oh, come on, you really ought to come on a Saturday morning. It's free. It's good for your health. But that isn't going to suit everybody. So we try and encourage our health coaches to get way upstream. And the conversation's often starting, you know, sort of what's most important to you in life at the moment. You know, what really matters to you. And it might be that leads you down a line of them wanting to make some changes to their behavior, you know, because they want more energy, they want more time to spend with the kids, whatever it is. But it might not. It might be that actually what a coach is doing is just trying to help someone feel safe enough to open up a bit. You know, a lot of the times people are not used to these conversations in healthcare. They're used to just being told what to do, and it seems really unfamiliar. So, you know, we try and teach coaches to work out, right, if someone's at a really early stage, just give them a space to have a nice conversation and make them feel good about themselves, you know. And then, you know, rather than dragging them towards something, when they're ready and they can see the benefit for themselves on their off their own steam, they'll probably come along, but they might not. You know, it might just be they think, actually, that was a really nice chat with Charlotte, and she's really nice, and actually they'll go away and think about it, and maybe in a couple of months' time they might go, do you know what, actually I think I could see myself doing something a bit different now. And their life's got a little bit easier, you know, my mental health's picked up or got a little bit of space. Maybe I'll go back and talk to Charlotte again, you know, and mm-hmm. and that's the culture you want, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. I guess there's something around like marketing, isn't there? Like the way that some of our leisure sector partners would maybe be quite historically quite aggressive with marketing the gym, you know, come and get involved. And that can be really quite off-putting to people that are not ready to receive it. But actually through health coaching, it's that patience, isn't it, and going, is this person ready to do that yet? That process is almost going in the background to then go, like you said there, oh, in the future they might come back because they've started that bridging process.
Exactly.
I guess what I'm trying to say probably to anyone listening is that kind of patient approach, and you know, patient not as impatient, but patience, and yeah. waiting for people on their terms to be ready to come in. Yeah. And that could be quite frustrating if you're fighting for memberships or fighting for user figures or whatever it is that you're under pressure to chase.
Yeah, and that's the trouble, isn't it? What we recognise is that it's like a tug of war, isn't it? The more you pull, the more people dig their heels in. And actually, you know, you're kind of trying to open doors, and just I really encourage our health coaches to notice when someone's thinking in their presence. So, you know, people are always, oh, I can't ask that because, you know, then I won't know how to close it down. Do you know, if they start talking about that or start thinking about that, what am I going to do? And actually, you want people to do that. You want people to go away from talking to you just like a bit puzzled, a bit confused, thinking, right, I've got to give this a bit of thought, flipping out, never really thought about that. So, you know, because people will think about things even without you. Do you know what I mean? You know, they'll go away and mull on it and go, right, you've really got under my skin a bit there. Yeah. Especially if you're not trying to drag them to something. If you're actually sort of, you know, just opening their thoughts, maybe a little bit of information they might not have known about, or an idea that kind of might spark something, but you've put it on their terms and you've really felt they felt like they've listened and that you understand them. That seems to be far more powerful in the end about changing behavior.
So if we've got an offer from somebody in the physical activity world, and they're listening to this and they're going, oh, these health coaches should know about what I've got to offer, what's the best way of those people kind of coming from the leisure sector into this gap, into this space? What top tip do you have for them?
Well, interesting. I think on a few levels, I think the physical activity sector can really step into this space as well. If they, obviously I'm going to say this, but if they come at it with a health coaching mindset and perspective, I think they could be a real valuable asset, because generally the physical activity teams, they get that. Do you know what I mean? They get motivation, interviewing, like you said, readiness for change. And if they've got the confidence that they're going to perform a good role in the health system, they could pitch in there. But the other thing they can do is just to be sort of like that, raise the kind of connections between working as a team with health coaches and social prescribing link workers, so that, you know, yeah, when people are ready, when you come across people who want to do this, we're here and we're ready to meet people where they're at. We're not going to drag them. We're not going to bully them. You know, we've got places that are really good for people with sort of neurodiverse thinking, perhaps, or people where they, you know, don't like crowded spaces, or we've got people that don't like, you know, have self-conscious about their body image. I mean, they're thinking about what other facilities might be useful to people. And I think that adds a real, that adds a real richness to how we can do this together. Do you know what I mean? It's a partnership working thing.
Partnership working. We like a bit of that, Charlie, don't we? Mm. We like the sound of that.
We do, and very much about partnership working.
And the idea almost that a physical activity can step into the space and be part of a multidisciplinary team type approach to somebody's health. Sounds good. So what about peak health coaching then? What's the kind of the learning development offer, Ollie, that you talked about? What do you do for people in the health coaching space?
Yeah, well, it was a bit of a punt for us, really, because, you know, I when you're a GP, you're kind of pretty well established. You know, I mean, it's a pretty respected job as a partner of GP practice. You know, the sort of thing that your mum, when she's talking to her friends, go, you know, what does your son do? Oh, he's a GP. Oh, that's lovely. Oh. You know, so.
What a hero. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. It was a bit of a punt for me, but to be totally honest with you, it really felt like this was more important than prescribing pills and, you know, doing the sort of like rapid churn that general practice does. So Tim Williams, the other GP I work with, we took a bit of a leap of faith a year ago and stepped out of our general practice. And we've just made it our business to try and design courses we think fit the NHS at the moment. So we do a 2-day program for any healthcare professional, be they GP, nurse, physio, OT, you know, managers, even expert patients, to introduce them to the concepts and the practice of health coaching. And then we take it on for another 2 days for people that are going to work in a more dedicated health coaching role, which might be people in the physical activity sector where they have half an hour, 45 minutes with someone and they want to really deepen the skills, you know, bring in motivation doing and you know, sort of a bit of challenge, you know, you could. But and in fact, that's what the NHS has said. 4 days of training for a health coach in the NHS is enough to start with. And they then go into an NHS setting which is supportive with supervision and, you know, a chance to debrief. And we work together as teams. So we've tried to tailor our training around what the NHS is ready for. And then because we're thinking about it all the time, we're thinking, well, OK, well, when you've got health coaches, what can they do next then? So we started working in the pain clinic, actually, is where we learn about health coaching. Wow. So we're really interested in the way that, you know, health coaching can be used in pain management in primary care. So we've got another sort of follow-on day about how would you explain pain management and sort of sell the benefits of self-care in pain management, alongside then sort of de-prescribing and sort of like, you know, a less medicalized approach for the healthcare professionals. So we get people to train together. And we do that model for metabolic health, you know, sort of. We know now, don't we, that you can reverse type 2 diabetes. You know, there's parts of the country where 25% of their list in primary care is off drugs and fully in remission. So, you know, and it's mostly come from a health coaching style approach, taking advantage of group work as well. You know, and that's exactly the sort of thing we teach. So we know there's loads of scope for this. And I suppose, you know, yeah, people can look at our website, peakhealthcoaching.com. And if they're interested in training, you know, of any of those sort of things, just get in touch. We're really keen to see people.
Sorry, I didn't quite write that down quick enough. What was that? Peakhealthcoaching.com.
Yeah, so Peak, like the Peak District, where we're based up in Sheffield, healthcoaching.com. Yeah.
Right.
It's got some very nice pictures of the Peak District. I've just had a look now, Ollie.
Yeah.
Love,
yeah,
it's those funny photos.
People said to us, is it a fell walking website?
It's inspirational, like though. Yeah. Get outside. Absolutely. So, and it's making me think already, just listening to you talk there, Ollie, about how well, again, our sector, and I guess if I think the providers of physical activity, be that park, run, leisure centre,
yeah,
football club, dance group, whatever, how well equipped are we on our way to thinking about a person-centered approach? And I think there's some great deliverers out there, providers of physical activity, who are already thinking about person-centered approach and have possibly been doing it for years, meeting people where they're at, taking on their journey. But we also know there's probably more that we can do as active partnerships, and that's probably a really interesting opportunity there, Matt, to think about the role that active partnerships playing in starting to introduce this health coaching model. And just listening to some of the things you're saying there, Ollie, about unpicking what somebody's life is like, and actually you're taking them on those steps, and actually walking into a gym and doing a session is way too much the first time. They might just need to stand outside the centre and see what it looks like, or walk around and go in, not actually do anything, just walk around and talk to the people. A lot more needs to be, we need to soften it up, don't we, as an offer. It feels sometimes, like you say, Matt, it can be quite an aggressive or scary thing to start being active.
Yeah, and bridging that gap is really important, isn't it? It's just a two-way thing. And when I was a GP partner before the pandemic, we had this great service. We had a physical activity, you know, a PT expert. She really understood that sort of like meeting people where they're at, the sort of health coaching style. I can't remember whether I did some training with her or not, but she really got it. And she came into the practice and did some walks outside the practice, some little low level intensity sort of sessions in the practice meeting room. You didn't have to get changed into anything. It was like chair based milk bottles, you know, just, and it was as much social as it was activity. But it was the same person who then ran the classes in the gym across the road. So, you know, free 12 sessions if you wanted of doing this in the practice, even longer, I think some of them stayed on. But at some point you go, actually, you're doing pretty well now. Do you want to come to my session? So me, so you know me, don't you? You know me, I'm Jean. Across the road, it's not as scary as you think, you know. And she would take them across there and do almost exactly the same. And then they could, you know, join up. And actually it washed its own face. The number of memberships they got out of that funded Jean's role in the practice. You know, she did that one, you know, two hours a week, do you know what I mean? And the patients loved it. And you know, you get then that relationship between the provider, you know, the GP's got to know the gym providers, and you know, you become part of the team. So I think any way you can break down those barriers with a bit of imagination, it actually is in your interest in the end.
I can hear somebody listening to this going, oh, well, that's all right for you. You've got a GP there, Ollie, who gets it, and he'll let you go in as a physical activity provider and work in his practice. So I think there's something here we've got to address that in there around kind of how you build that trust up. You know, the motivational interviewing type approach and being more than just a sports coach, but actually thinking that this is a person, not a target for my sales. I think that's really important, isn't it? Because I can imagine a lot of surgeries kind of going, oh, no. Ooh, no, we're not having somebody coming in. But actually that could be a preconception. There's probably somebody out there that's actually going, oh, let's have a conversation about this. But trying to build that trust. And we've talked a lot about relationships, Charlie, before, haven't we? But there you go. There's a plug for a series one. You know, trying to build that relationship so you can be a trusted part of that multidisciplinary team is going to be really, really important to get any success.
It is. And I mean, not telling people what to do in any way, because people will know their local patch and just have ideas. But they, you know, GPs are a funny bunch. I get it. You know, sometimes you just need a little bit of an offer to get to the door. And, you know, the health coaching language is spreading. You know, people are starting to become familiar with it. So I don't know. I mean, get your PT leads, you know, to be health coach trained and offer them as a health coach, you know, sort of say, you know, they're NHS health coach trained. They've gone to peak health coaching training and, you know, they get health coaching and, you know, we'll fund them for an afternoon to come in, you know, and we'll see how it goes. And yeah, we'll hold our hands up. We will eventually want to look and see how many people transition to a gym membership. But that's good for the GPs. GPs are like that. They like sustainable stuff, you know. So I think there is a business case there that can work. Maybe they'll part fund it. Maybe you say, look, we'll come in for half of it. You half fund out of your monies for these new roles. We'll come in. We're fully trained. In fact, particularly one of the things general practice struggles with is the supervision. So if you've got a gym set up where actually there is a little bit of supervision of their practice, you know, by a senior gym instructor who knows a little bit about it, again, you can provide that structure that maybe then lets GPs off the hook, because they're like, oh, it's a bit difficult finding out. But no, I've got a health coach from another organization who's going to look after them. And I can take it, you know, I can work in partnership with them to you know, I can spread the word. I can promote it and say, I endorse this, and you can, you know, pick up the mainstay of it.
Mm. Sounds good, doesn't it, Charlie?
Does sound good. It's giving me lots of ideas.
Cool. But equally, Charlotte, where you are down in, you know, I wouldn't want to step on the toes as your local provider. So health and care are great. They train health coaches just like we do, and they're great. So, yeah. You know, I would get on the phone to Natalie at health and care and say, right, what can we do? You know, how can we make the most of your health coaches? Could some of them come and maybe co-work? Maybe some of them come work in our gyms and bridge that gap? It could be really cool.
Absolutely. I think it is that's the bits that I was scribbling down, because they're great. And we've done some work in partnership with health and care already, but how do we bring the two sectors together? So we engage with our leisure providers, and then we engage with like health and care and health coaches, and we sort of train both, but we never bring them together. And I think as you were talking, that's the bit that's missing, isn't it? In that, what can they learn from each other? How do we actually bring services together in one place? Because it makes it a lot easier for patients, doesn't it? Rather than being sort of signposted on and on to different services, actually bringing services together, have health coaches working out of leisure centres or leisure centre staff dropping into surgeries.
Exactly. That really matters. In fact, that was one of the real successes of the Move More program in Sheffield, which is still ongoing, is that co-location bit. And they literally ran hospital clinics. So, you know, rheumatology, diabetes, you know, where you're not coming for a gym class, but it's in a gym. You have to walk past the stuff. You know, you start to sort of feel what it's like to walk through the front door. And again, you could deliver health coaching in that setting, not because you're going to get them to do any exercise, but, you know, just by that kind of power of association and, you know, the familiarity, I can guarantee you it will plant the seed for people.
Yeah, because once you've seen it, you're hearing news, you're hearing it online, whatever, and then you see it because you're there yourself. We're just sort of enticing people in through different, sometimes covert ways, but look, this is a world that you can access.
And this is a bit crafty maybe, but sometimes I find myself going almost the other way. Do you know what I mean? When people are, you know, that pre-contemplative stage you talked about, the readiness for change, you know, it's like you're almost going the other way and going, you know, I can see that you're not ready to do any physical activity yet. Do you know what I mean? I can totally see your life is really busy with other stuff, and I get that. We're not going to go anywhere near that. My job, I'm just going to just help you build your self-confidence and your you know, self-esteem. And you almost get to a point where people go, well, I think I might be ready for physical activity, and you can sort of go, well, I don't know, I don't want to push you, you know, I don't know, and you actually get to the point where people go, no, look, I want to do this, you know,
I'll show you I am ready. Yeah,
exactly. And then it's a bit like, I'm not want to be disingenuous, and you're not going to be, you know, you're not going to tease people or be, you know, sort of, but you know, that's the skill of health coaching, is knowing how to work with someone and you know, nudge them from behind rather than yank them from the front.
Oh, I like that. Nudge from behind rather than yank from the front. Yeah. Yeah. Great. I guess we're getting to a point of almost wrapping it up. My head's full. My notepad's full. But I think I've got sort of three key themes running through there. Oh, Charlie, I've just seen you glance at your notepad. This is going to be like a test now, isn't it? Because my guess is better than your guess. Don't start tripping me up. Right. So number one, I think there's something around empathy. It's hard to do. It's hard to make the change. So we've got to be empathetic to the approach, whether that's working with our colleagues in the leisure centre, colleagues in the NHS, or actually working with the people that are going to do it. That empathy, that change is hard. So that's the first one. The second bit, which is predominantly for colleagues, but be part of the multidisciplinary team that we talked about, whether that's physical activity going into that NHS environment, GP surgery, whatever, or that invitation for health coaches to come into a leisure environment. And then the third bit I picked up on quite heavily was about sort of adapting to this space in the middle that we've identified. What are the needs of the NHS locally at the moment? And what can your product, service, intervention do? And how, you know, how you can evolve it so it doesn't stay maybe, you know, too traditional, but you're thinking about the different audiences and where people are at, and being ready that when they're ready, they can come, as long as you've build it and they'll come, maybe.
Yeah, I like that. Yeah.
Pass, Charlie? Have I got that?
Yeah, pretty good. Pretty good. I think that key takeaway is meeting people where they're at.
Yeah.
That whole thing about where are they at, what's going on, and then what's important to you at the moment. Don't just start with, we want everyone to be more active. Obviously, that's our goal. We want everyone to enjoy moving and move a bit more, sit a bit less. But actually, for some people, that's not going to be the thing that gets them started on that journey. That's going to come much later. So I really like that.
Yeah, brilliant. Spot on. That's a great message to take away. And that we often find ourselves with health coaches sort of giving them permission to you know, really pull back on what they're trying to do. You know, if someone's, you know, doesn't feel they've got a role in looking after themselves, it's a bit like if you're going to, you know, teach someone Spanish, do you know what I mean? You ask them, do you want to learn to speak Spanish? And they go, no. And then you go, well, come on, let's get the Spanish book out then. Do you know what I mean? It's like the wrong thing to do. You know, your work is to kind of, you know, challenge them as to why Spanish might be useful in their life. Do you know what I mean? You know, and that's your job. But it's such a valuable job to play, but we undervalue it. We only say you've succeeded if you've got people exercising or stop them smoking or, you know, whatever. You know, it's the behaviours. But the early bit about getting people thinking differently and feeling more confident is actually the most powerful bit.
Brilliant. Well, we've got to finish there, haven't we? Yeah. Let me just say thank you ever so much. Thank you so much for joining us. It's great to talk to somebody that's in the system, but obviously looking outwards with all the health coaches are doing. And, you know, the speech at the conference was great. So hopefully those that attended that will also be able to listen to what you've said today. So thank you ever so much, Ollie, for joining us.
No, it's lovely. Keep doing what you're doing. I love the fact you're putting so much effort into it. It makes a massive difference.
Oh, thank you.
Thanks, and you Ollie. Too, thanks, mate, for joining us.
Cheers.
You too, Charlie. Good to see you, bud. Good to talk to you.
Nice to speak with you, Matt. And now you've raised the bar, I'm going to have to go away and find a guest, aren't I? Because you challenged
are.
Me there.
I have. In guest duel, yeah.
Yeah.
I've got a good one up my sleeve for later in the year. Oh. I'm not. Yeah, there's a cliffhanger. So your next one better be a good one. Yeah.
Working on it now.
Anyway, I told you'd be good. He was good, wasn't he?
Excellent. Really excellent. Really enjoyed that.
The identification,
so we've got so much
that
to take
space
away
in the middle. that, yeah. Sorry, I talked over you. That identification, that space in the middle, that is absolutely.
That's where we need to get stuck in, isn't it? Yeah. Not be scared. Encourage providers, whatever they are, to, yeah, go and find out about their local health coaching service.
Brilliant. Right. Well, we'll finish it there, mate. And I'll see you again in a few weeks' time. We'll record another one. Time for another Tale of Two Counties.
See you again. Thanks, Matt.
Cheers, mate.
Speak to you soon.